regular board meeting. And if you could all rise, call to order at 6:46. Carrie? All rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, so moving into our first business here, I need to get a motion and a second to approve tonight's agenda, please.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second, Mr. Walker. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. At this time, we will open the regular board meeting up to public comment. Again, there was a sign-in sheet, seeing no sign-ins. Would anyone still like to come to the podium, state the name and address, offer any comment? Okay, seeing none, we will move into our consent agenda. Tonight, that includes the board meeting minutes from our public meeting on August 24th, the fund and expenditure summary reports, accounts payable, vouchers, and payroll claims, the personnel report, donations, fundraisers, and surplus equipment for disposal. May I please get a motion and a second to approve tonight's consent agenda?
So moved.
Motion, Ms. Shore.
Second.
Second, Mr. Smith. Any questions or discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Moving into our discussion items, Ms. Downer, let's hear about C9.
Hi. C9 has a lot going on. They are down a little over 100 students from all of the partnering schools. A lot of that has to do with the regulations or requirements to attend in person at their home school. So they're not as concerned about the change in attendance, or but they are keeping an eye on it because their goal is to increase the attendance. So we do have some strategy sessions to look at attendance for next year. One of the larger projects that they have going is they did just complete the facility study, looking at the facility for C9. And if you haven't been out there, you know it's a large campus with multiple buildings on site. So they are looking at the facility, looking at how to repurpose those, that facility, and then what that would mean for all the partnering schools. They had an initial presentation to all of the schools and board members. We have that packet, and we will be learning more and discussing that at the October board meeting. So I will be presenting or giving each of you a little bit more of an overview at that October board meeting here. So we'll know a little bit about how that will impact us as well. For COVID, they have had 205 students that have been out since the beginning of school. There's only 16 now that are still out. No teachers at this point are being impacted by COVID, so they feel like they're doing pretty well. And with the changes that just came out with Marion County, as well as the governor, they are meeting a small team to look and see how that's going to impact school for them moving forward. So a lot of things are changing, but they feel like they're doing very well. With hands-on learning, it has been quite the challenge for them, but they are adapting very well and feel like they're still on track to move forward. So they feel pretty confident that they're meeting all of their goals and objectives.
Did you say 205?
205 have been out. Those are just kids with symptoms. Just like us, you know, you come in, you have a headache or a fever, and you're sent home until you get either a diagnosis or your 10 days or whatever. So 205 kids. And it could be that they were sent home from their home school. And if you're sent home at your home school, then you can't go to C9 either. So 205 kids missed school at C9 because of some situation related to COVID. or it could be a family member who was quarantined, and if they're quarantined, then they can't come to school either. So just difficult to learn that hands-on trade if you're not actually in the building learning.
How many FC students attend C9?
I didn't bring those numbers, but I will send them to you, Larry, okay. And then we could actually get them as an amendment to the minutes.
Okay. So. Thank you.
Good. Any questions for Dawn?
Dawn, last week I had the opportunity to go to the Johnson County Armory to see the facility study. And so they had three different options, ranging from like 9 to 14 million, depending on where they went. And so I was just going to say we need to be careful on where that ends up, because to make sure that we still qualify for our circuit breaker waiver, because we can't let our debt service rate go over a certain rate. And so it's important that we see what the impact to our specific school corporation. I know one issue that came up is on one of the options, they were going to build a
multi-purpose room.
And so of that, it's like $3 to $4 million of that total project. Of that, so instead of 9 to 14 million, it really could be 6 to 10 million if that wasn't included. So that, I guess that'd basically be a question that we want to make, at least initially, do we really need that portion of that project?
I absolutely agree. And I think the initial focus, what we as board members initially focused on, and we'll be having a couple of work sessions as well, is focusing on those trades that are the high pay in demand. So things like that definitely wouldn't be a priority. They're also doing a nice job of including the administrative leaders.
I thought it was really, as far as the restructuring, I thought it was really good. That was just the major concern that we saw was that, just that portion of it.
Good. I'm glad.
What determines what our portion of the total
The contract is? With all the sending schools, and so, and then the number of kids that we send. I believe we send the most kids.
Yes, we do.
So, unfortunately, what will happen is, if you notice, we were actually, this year, we're paying off our C9 bonds. So I don't anticipate there'll be any in 2021. They're too late. So the question is will they get this structured by 2022? Well, at the same time, our debt increment's going away. So, or will be a 2023 year or 2024 project. I don't know what the timing will be, but we'll find that out more later. And how they structure that as well. So.
Thank you, Dawn. Okay, now for FTEF. Diana sent a very good summary here, and Fred, I hate to put you on the spot, but I know you're extremely involved in the annual Golf for Kids. She mentions it was a great success, and I heard upwards of $30,000.
Yeah, we brought in over $32,000, I believe. Had the most number of teams that we ever had play this year.
Because everyone just wants to be out doing stuff.
Yeah, because it's about the only thing people could do.
There's
sporting events. So we were, very pleased with the participation and how that went. Next year will be the 25th anniversary. So the date hasn't been set. Everybody liked the fall date, actually. In September, it was really nice weather compared to the July when they usually had it. So I think they'll probably do a September thing again. But with the 25th anniversary, I think they're going to have some nice surprises and stuff going in and try to make a bigger push. Not that we've been pushing the last few years. I think 2017, I think they made $4,000 off the golf, a little over $4,000 off the golf thing. So this past year, they netted over $32,000. So we've really gotten involved the last few years to try to help that. And then and then all that comes back to the students, which is a good thing. So.
And unfortunately, my team didn't win. Sharon, did your team win? Tyler? Todd? Brett?
His team was well, whose
team won? We all lost.
Whose team won?
It was for a good cause.
Very good. Thank you, Fred. The other thing that she has on here, so with the Fast Flash and the Golf for Kids being later in the year because of COVID, they've actually postponed the fall grants. I think they're just trying to make sure they have a good understanding of what funds are available and also what the needs are, as well as probably, it doesn't say this, but I'm guessing not too many teachers have time right now to be applying for grants with everything else that they have going on. So the fall grants are currently on hold. This past Friday when they met, a big part of what they did at their meeting was reviewing their articles of incorporation, bylaws, policies, and the Board of Directors handbook. Knowing how Dr. Pettit is with policies, I thought I would skip that meeting and just let him handle it. So it's kind of what they covered this last time. And then related to what Fred said with the golf outing celebrating 25 years, they must have started that when the foundation started, because the foundation is celebrating its 25th year next year as well. So that's exciting. It's certainly come a long way in 25 years, and can't wait to see what they come up with for their anniversary. Any questions on FTEF? Okay, we will move into our action items tonight, and lo and behold, speaking of Dr. Pettit, the very first item is second reading and approval of several policies.
Good evening. Second reading for C-450 drug prevention and drug testing, G-275 animals on school corporation property, and G-300 latchkey programs. The only thing that is different from the first reading that was presented to you last month is the animals on school corporation property. There is an additional clause that wasn't supposed to be in there on therapy dogs at the very end, and that has been removed. Minus that, the three policies are the exact same as they were on first reading, and so the request would be for the approval of the three policies.
Okay, can we get a motion and a second to approve the C-450, G-275, and G-300 policies?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Walker.
Second,
Mr. Smith. Any questions or discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 5-0.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Pettit. You were brief tonight. I appreciate that. Action item B. This is going to be Ms. Schoen, and we're looking for the Catapult Learning West Services Agreement.
Thank you. Good evening. Tonight we are asking for the approval of a service agreement for Catapult Learning, and it is basically a contracted educational service that works with non-public schools and public schools in consultation of using federal funds. Specifically, this one would be Title I. Catapult is a company that customizes instruction based on data for students who go to a non-public school. So we receive Title I funds, and then part of our district set aside is to follow our students who live in Franklin Township but attend Nativity. And so the money follows the students. With that money that we allocate and set aside for them, I'm in consultation with the principal and her team to find out which is the best way to give an extra amount of instruction and services to her Title I students. So we have chosen Catapult Learning that will use data to provide extra services in academics, in reading and math. And so I am asking for approval of the service agreement with Catapult Learning.
Okay, so that we can have discussion, can we get a motion and a second to approve the agreement with Catapult Learning West Services?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Motion, Ms. Downer?
Second.
Second, Mr. Walker. Any questions or discussion?
Ms. Schoen, what's the ballpark number? I mean, how many Title I students are at Nativity that technically would be our students? I'm just curious.
We have 18 Franklin Township students who live in a Title I residential area of a school that is served Title I. But there are another 38 from outlying districts, Beech Grove, Warren, Perry, Lawrence, and their money follows their students as well. So right. We help budget that money for them so that they have a cohesive learning plan.
Great.
All those those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 5-0.
Thank you.
It's a good thing you stayed there, Ms. Schoen. You're up again next. The Memorandum of Understanding with Educator Aid.
Yes, thank you. And you have a packet in front of you that tells you a little bit about Educator Aid. This next approval is seeking, hopefully is seeking approval for a Memo of Understanding with Educator Aid. They're another contracted educational service that we would like to partner with in the continuation of building a framework for a cultural, healthy, high-performing school district. They focus on four strands of cultural, climate, equity, and shared leadership. And through that, they work with building and expanding cultural leadership in our staff, cross-cultural conversations, equitable instruction, and cultural empathy. And they do that in a manner that we appreciate because they don't create the framework for us and come in. They get to know us first by sending out a survey instrument, collecting data, and really looking at the positive things that we have in place and building upon that. So to work with Educator Aid, we're asking for approval so that we can continuously meet the growing need of our diverse learners who are coming into our district as our FEP and LEP student population is growing, and we are getting more and more English learners every day with over 54 languages. So I'm asking for approval for this Memorandum of Understanding.
So we can have discussion. May I please get a motion and a second to approve the MOU with Educator Aid?
So moved.
Motion, Ms. Shore?
Second.
Second, Mr. Smith. Any questions or discussion?
This is more than just curriculum, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep. For and sure.
Is this the first time we've done this?
No, it's not. Actually, we did it a few years in the past, and one positive aspect of Educator Aid is they will only work for districts who believe in systemic change that is sustainable as a cultural shift, and that is one of our core beliefs in our Growing the Whole Child initiative, that we really want to make sure that what we're doing is impactful and it sticks with our culture.
Is this something we apply for?
No, it's just been in constant conversation with the company, and they've been here. They've spent time with us on the phone. We've had several Zoom conversations with them, and they really want to work with us. So we feel pretty excited to be able to do that.
Okay, thank you.
How's this all going to be implemented? Will they instruct the teachers and the teachers?
Mm-hmm. We will start with cohort one, and that will be our inclusive leadership team. We've sent out an inclusive interest inventory to our leadership academy that Dr. Pettit started with our leaders that represents every department throughout the district and their administrators. And so we'll take the data from that interest survey and look at who really is interested in doing the work. And that is the first cohort that will build the framework and the strategic plan for the positive outcome. And they'll be right with us, alongside us, assisting us and guiding us.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
And so what we're committing to, Ms. Schoen, is basically that first phase of
yes,
things.
The
That's
first
what
year.
We're paying
yes.
for the first
and
year.
And they want to work with districts that want this to continue, not just a one and done.
So can you clarify, and part mm-hmm. of it's just because we're seeing the payment now, what we saw in our board packets didn't have an amount, and I'm just because I'm trying to listen to you and I have things in front of me, I just want to make sure that I'm reading this correctly because there's a couple of different numbers in here. It says for compensation, they will produce the scope of work based on the rate of $2,400 per cohort session. The service provider's per session rate is inclusive of all, blah, blah, blah. Then it says, but then it has the $2,650.
That's the total.
Okay, so, and they want it per check, which I find interesting.
Per
check. They want a check. That's just a side note.
Yes.
Okay. So we're really only talking about the $2,650, even
yes.
though somewhere, okay.
Yes. The $2,500 right. is for the cultural discourse readiness survey.
Okay.
And that is one that comes after that goes out into the entire staff with 34 different data points.
Okay.
I'm sorry, 40 data points. And then that also includes all of the 90-minute facilitated conversations that we have with them.
All right.
Some vendors wanting to check instead of using a credit card where the credit card.
Right.
Okay, even though it says corresponding invoices on the first day of each month, but really it's just 1 month?
Just one payment, yes.
Okay, it's only one. Okay, so there's just it's just not consistent. Okay.
And just the term of this, is this just for the, we're paying for this for a year and then going to see how it goes and you'll come back to us if we like where it's going? Okay.
Where are they located, Michonne? And are
Chicago
you gonna,
area.
So will you have some in-person things with them?
If yes. Okay. And she works with several districts within Marion County as well.
Good. Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Thank you, Michonne. Moving on to new business. Any new business tonight? How about old business?
So I do have an old an old business item. So at the last meeting last month, we talked about the transparency of these meetings and live streaming them or doing some sort of technology so that the community could access them if they weren't in the room. And that didn't go any further than the motion. I'm here again this month to ask for or to bring a motion to the table for the same type of activity. So I would like to make a motion to move to provide additional transparency to the board meetings by moving to streamline meetings and posting that meeting for access at a later time. I move that we do this by requesting that the administration develop a proposal by the October board meeting on how to accommodate streamlining the meetings, which will be presented to the board in the October board meeting.
Okay, there's a motion on the table. Is there a second?
I'll second it again.
Second, Mr. Smith. Any discussion? I'll start with some discussion here and then everyone feel free to chime in. But one of the things that I wasn't sure if you saw, but it was presented in Friday notes and Dr. Hibbert and his team and through discussions from board members bringing up the community's concerns with not being able to attend and wanting to have that information available. Immediately starting with tonight's meeting, we are going to be they've already redone the board page of the school corporation's website. I've been on it. It is much more user-friendly than board docs. A lot of people don't need all the extra information that is in board docs, and so the new board page on the corporation's website, it actually links to things in board docs, but there is already the agendas as well as the minutes. I believe it's for all of 2020. Those are already there, and then immediately following tonight's board meeting, the audio, because we've always recorded the audio, and it's in the past been available by request for anybody that wanted it. Not many requests have ever been made, but tonight's audio from the meeting will be posted immediately following tonight's meeting. And then, as you all know, the way the minutes work, we are not able to, the minutes are not finalized until the next meeting when we vote to approve the minutes as part of our consent agenda. So I think we have heard what is being said out in the community. We recognize that changes need to be made, and these are the first steps that we were able to do fairly quickly.
I just want my discussion item is, you know, I appreciate this is a good step in the right direction. I want to commend the administration for making some changes. You know, it's a little clearer. I mean, my personal opinion, I emailed the board on Friday a little late. Some districts are a little bit clearer, but, you know, we're moving in the right direction. I'm still an advocate for video and will remain so. But again, I appreciate the audio after the fact. It's a good step, but would like to see video in the future.
Well, and do we have any data, Zach? Do you have any data? Some of the things that I've seen, because people are doing a lot of things with live video now, how many of them are actually being watched live versus watched later, right? So not everybody's available at 6 o'clock, and that's part of the complaint, which is why we're posting the recording. Do you have any data around that?
I do not have any data, but I'm happy to find some more data for us so that we can consider in the future.
Is there a cost? Obviously, there's a cost involved. Do we have an estimate, ballpark? I mean, it needs to be done regardless, I think, but yes. Is there an estimate of about what it might cost us? Fred, I guess. I don't know.
Tyler. Oh,
Tyler.
Tyler's done all the work for the audio.
For the website, listing meetings, the whole
that's cool.
Now, if we went to a video type of structure,
so this isn't
cameras and
storage,
labor to film it.
This isn't too bad what we're doing now, cost wise.
No, because we're essentially already doing it. We're just loading it.
Okay.
We got it from Zionsville. That's what Zionsville does.
And who is actually Tyler? Does this fall to your job duties?
Terry
falls to you to post all of this stuff after the fact.
As far as cost goes on video, it's the quality of video and the sound of video. As far as that goes.
Hey, thank you, Terry and Tyler.
Okay, so there's a motion and a second, so now we need to take a vote. For the record, can you please repeat your motion? It sounds like you had it written out there.
Yeah, hold on. Provide additional transparency to the board meetings by moving to streamline meetings and posting the meetings for access at a later time. Move that we do this by requesting that the administration develop a proposal by the October board meeting on how to accommodate streamlining the meetings, which will be presented to the board.
Okay. Do you mean streaming, not streamlining?
Yes, sorry.
All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Any other old business? Superintendent comments.
This past week we finished our tours of our 11 buildings, and I just wanted to say that what our students and teachers and administrators are doing since beginning of school until now has been tremendous. Their efforts of doing what we're doing now for a little over an hour wearing a mask. Students' behavior has been incredible throughout this whole thing, and our teachers have worked tirelessly trying to do multiple different education at the same time of having to do the mask and stuff. So I'm just thankful as we walk the buildings, even though we couldn't see the kids smile, you knew they were smiling, and the teachers were working as hard as they've ever worked, and it was really nice to see. And of course, we're going to finish up here. So we're going to finish up the quarter, which we're thrilled to death. As far as Marion County, we'll have the most in-person days in since it started, and the school year started. And of course, as probably many of you know, yesterday we were notified that last Friday we were notified that Marion County Health says that 7th and 8th graders can now go to school full time, which meant this morning our team was working with the Teachers Association and the building level administration to try to come to some agreement on what that looks like when we get back from October break. We certainly got the word on Friday, but didn't want to do that to our parents and kids starting this week. So, anyway.
Could you take just a second to clarify what that statement actually meant, or those statements actually meant? Because they were a little bit confusing, because it started out, I believe, if I recall correctly, with a cohort could go, but then it was four, if a building had 400...
Those were high school.
Okay. Yeah. 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 I mean, it was just confusing. It was not clear at all.
It was the P's charter schools.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I was trying to.
I assume parochial.
Yeah.
As
I was
well.
Just trying yeah. to remember what that screen said. So if you could just clarify for people, because we have a few people in the audience.
Well, the clarification is what I just said. Seventh and eighth graders are allowed in our district. The rest of that doesn't have anything to do with us because our high school has more than 400 students.
Question for Dr. Hibbard and Fred. So I know we're going to be pretty tight at the junior high. So are we worried about our space? Just as we're adding on the addition now, I know we're going to have plenty of space when the addition's done, but are we going to need to do anything supplemental after fall break to make sure we space people or socially distance?
Well, she changed the order to 3 feet. So 3 feet is considered social distancing.
Okay.
So, but if you're asking us if we're concerned with space, we were concerned with space before the pandemic.
Correct.
And so I know our staff will try to do the best job that they can, and we'll work through all the changes to keep our kids safe. And, of course, it's going to impact Todd, too, back there with transportation, because that will make a big difference, buses and our bus loads.
Gosh,
so.
Yeah.
I guess to be clear, are we going to need to buy a portable or two at this time?
Not at this time.
Not at this time. Okay. Thank you.
I think one of the positives with all of this is we're excited to welcome back more students and to have
yes.
them be in school more days. And the procedures that we have put in place are working. So, you know, the hope is that everyone continues with those procedures and our numbers remain low despite the extra kids in the building.
And the kids online offset some of the kids.
That's true.
So it isn't all of our kids that we were anticipating.
Any board comments tonight?
Yes. I'd like to thank Dr. Hibbard and the leadership team for arranging the school tours for all of us.
Agreed.
And it was really fun seeing the boys and girls. When you walk down the hall or stick your head in a room, they're waving. You can tell they're smiling behind their mask. And how well-mannered they were in the lunch lines and that type of thing. It wasn't that way when I was in school, that's for sure.
And the most enjoyable was Wanamaker Early Learning Center, because those kids don't have to wear masks, so we actually got to see them smile.
Yes. And how clean the schools were. I mean, it was fun seeing the boys and girls. Then I'd like to thank Fred for all the money he's raised in the golf. I knew he was an important part of raising funds for that whole program. Numbers were a lot bigger than they have been in the past, so thank you for your work on that.
I just noticed any high school student that I've encountered, I always ask them how they feel about school, and they all say the same thing. We just want to be back full time. And I really look forward to the day that they can do that, that they won't have to have these crazy schedules and that they'll all be back in school. Let's hope soon.
Well, and to echo what you guys said, appreciate the time that everyone put in to arrange the school tours. It was really great to see firsthand how all of the procedures that have been put in place and the social distancing and how the classrooms were laid out. The kids, they've adjusted to all of that, no problem, right? So they're all just, like you guys said, even through their masks, you can tell that they're smiling. You ask them what they're learning, they'll go through it with you. I was just, it was very positive experience for me to, because there's a lot of negativity out there right now, right? And it seems like there's a lot of people that are very dissatisfied with our plan and how things are going. And when you're in the buildings, you didn't see any of that from students or staff. The staff is working extremely hard and like you said, having to teach in multiple different ways. We got to observe several virtual sessions, including some with kindergarten, which, you know, I don't know if my kindergartners, when they were that age, could have sat in front of the computer, but they've got it all down. You see their faces. They're interacting with their teacher. They're even doing small reading groups, the guided reading through, you know, online and virtual. And so it was really great to see, and I appreciate all the efforts that everyone has put in to make this first 9 weeks work. Again, kudos to Fred. He's like a double whammy. So he raises funds for us, right, and gets sponsorships and donations, but then he's also saving us money. And a lot of times the savings are even more significant than what he's bringing in. So thank you for always looking out for us financially. It has definitely allowed us to spend extra on the PPE that's required for the times that we're in and do some things, even though not all of it's very exciting. But thanks for all your efforts.
And Kelly, wasn't it you that we were getting ready to walk out of a classroom and the little guy said, "Hey, come back here. You didn't see what I'm doing."
Right.
Wasn't that you?
Yep.
And he called her back in so she could see what he was doing.
Yep. They were excited to see us. It was good. They heard special, what did they call us? Boarders were coming to visit them.
Boarders.
So it was great to be there. It makes me miss when my kids were that age. So.
And we have some amazing principals.
Yeah, we do.
Go ahead, Don.
Well, I want to thank Chase for listening to parents and then working with the team to make some changes that I think are going to be helpful. And I'm sure you have more things that you're thinking about, and not just the increased communication or consistency with communication, but other things as well. I know both parents and staff have struggled this first quarter, 9 weeks, whatever we want to call it. And it has been trying for everyone, including the students. And I know that's not why you got into education, and you've been very committed to these students for a long time. So I thank you for everything that you've done over the last few weeks, especially, and listening to these parents. I'm sure that your next challenge will be talking and thinking about the Edmentum students as well. I know that they have quite their challenge ahead of them, so I thank you for thinking about what challenges they have and if we can help them as they move forward. So thank you for all that you have done, as well as everybody else on the staff. It has been a trying first start to the year, but I think we're getting there. Hopefully bringing kids back into school will be a smooth transition, although every transition with students has a little bit of a bumpy start from time to time. So thanks everyone for their help, and hopefully, you know, it'll be a good second 9 weeks.
I have some comments and some questions. I do want to thank the administration for putting together the visits. It was really, I want to ditto whatever thing everybody else had said. It was also great to see Kitley and Edgewood in its reconfigured manner back in the intermediate school space, and great to see how completely new teams are interacting and really hitting it out of the park for our fourth, fifth, and sixth grade students. So that was really good to see from a board perspective. Chase and Tony, I don't know if you kind of want to, when will we have an idea on how many virtual will be in the second 9 weeks, or can you give us some preliminary, how many people are going to change back or going to go virtual?
On the secondary level, we basically have a wash in and out.
Okay.
Right around, I'm going to give you a ballpark of 70 students that are coming in and out, so it's pretty much even. At the junior high level, I can't say because we're now resending out the survey. When we originally developed the survey, we didn't know Marion County was going to allow our students to go full-time. So today, we released that information to our junior high parents. We sent them another survey. We will then go and have them choose again, and then we'll have updated numbers as those come.
Great.
Seeing just for everybody else, I asked Tony the question when we were together on the tours, what's the biggest question she's getting related to people trying to decide, come back, stay virtual? And they all want their virtual teacher to be their actual classroom teacher because they've really built those relationships, and our online teachers have done such a great job. So I think that's definitely a shout out to all those people who have stepped up to do that very new thing this year for us. So.
And then my other question is for you, Fred. I know the count date was on the 18th, correct? The official ADM count for the state. Whenever are you able to provide it to the board in a Friday notes, that'd be great just to see what our final numbers were.
Right now we're at preliminarily 240, but you think it'd be easy to count kids, you know?
It's difficult, I know.
That's why it makes that. But in reality, what happens is when you have special services with other organizations like School for Blind, placement ins and placements out with foster agencies and things like that, you have to verify different information. Sometimes you count parts of kids.
Okay. Great. It's always good to see where we fall on all the grade levels like you gave us preliminarily, so thank you for that in advance. That's all I have.
Very good. We will adjourn tonight's meeting at 7:28.